He stressed that Iran won't allow hegemonic powers like the U.S. to trample upon its dignity. Our correspondent Gisu Mishahmedi was present at the venue of the Tehran protests, and she gave us details regarding the nationwide demonstrations.
We are right opposite the location which used to be the embassy of the United States in Iran before the Islamic Revolution. It is referred to as the Den of Spies, as after the revolution it was revealed that a lot of the work of the CIA had been done through this location here, and that is why it is referred to as the Den of Spies. Every year on this occasion, people gather right here in front of the Den of Spies to express their anger at the United States and its egregious policies and the atrocities that it commits through its different either proxies or allies in different parts of the world, particularly in the Middle East. Most of the atrocities that have been committed here have been directly related to the United States policies. So it is clearly a location where people in Iran gather to express their anger at these policies. Most of the people who gather here are students. They're either university students or school children that have come here. This year, the crowd is even bigger than ever before.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has hailed army officers who gave their lives in defense of the country against Israeli aggression recently. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made comments in meeting with families of four martyrs. He said that all martyrs enjoy stellar status in the hereafter. However, the leader stressed that the martyrdom of those killed in Israeli aggression is especially outstanding and significant. The leader said that that's because they were martyred in defense of the country in direct combat with the Israeli regime, which he described as the most evil enemy of Islam. In his earlier comments, the leader also promised a crushing response to Israel over the aggression. Now, Iran's Guardian Council says that the country and other regional nations will stand up against the Israeli crimes and will move out victorious against the regime. In a statement to mark the National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance, the Council slammed the U.S. for its political and military support for Israel's massacre of innocent women and children in Gaza and Lebanon. The Council said that the developments are yet another manifestation of the global arrogance. The Council also called for nationwide rallies in Iran in another show of disgust at the Israeli crimes and supporters of the regime. More civilians are killed in Gaza as the Israeli attacks across the Palestinian territory continue indiscriminately. In an early morning strike, warplanes targeted a house in Jabalia, northern Gaza, killing and injuring several Palestinians. In Beit Lahia, also in northern Gaza, a number of Israeli air raids left nearly a dozen people dead and several injured. Now, in the south, a drone strike on an area in Rafah left some fatalities. The Israeli aggression against besieged Gaza began in October last year. Ever since, more than 43,300 Palestinians have been killed and over 102,000 injured. Nonstop air and artillery attacks have already pushed the blockaded territory to the brink. A lack of food, water, and urgent medical supplies are also taking their toll on the population in Gaza. Now, for more information and update, let's from Darabella bring in our correspondent, Abu Bakr Abed. Is watching all this at close quarters. Abu Bakr, walk us through the latest developments.
Yes, just starting with more breaking news on the eastern outskirts of Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip. Just 9 people have been killed following 2 strikes conducted by Israeli drones. This is the initial report we have so far, but yet more people are going to die in the coming few hours as tens others were wounded at the same time. staying in the south, moving to Rafah, where Israeli warplanes conducted an airstrike targeting four people who were killed and transferred to the medical complex of Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. At the same time, on the eastern outskirts of Rafah, a woman and her two children were deliberately targeted and murdered there. Also, Israeli tanks have been pounding since the early morning the central parts of Rafah, particularly in Mukhayam al-Shabura. Moving to northern Gaza, where the situation continues to deteriorate every single day. In Jabalia camp, the Israelis are obliterating fallen residential blocks and fallen neighborhoods as the Israeli regime is pressing hard with its plan to empty out the north. At the same time, in the western parts of Gaza City, in Al-Sabra, Sheikh Ridwan, and El Zaitun neighborhoods, Israeli tanks are incessantly targeting and hitting those areas, coupled with extensive gunfire by Apache helicopters and quadcopters. Also, with some sort of a progress by Israeli squadrons in the area. Also, in Beit Laya and Jabalia, more bodies are still remaining under the rubble. The civil defense workers are unable to retrieve any bodies missing under the rubble. They have been out of service for now more than 12 consecutive days. Also, Gaza's health ministry early in the morning has released a statement calling out all health organizations across the world to bring and allow more medical supplies and allow the entry of more medical personnel to the north of Gaza, to hospitals in the north, as the situation there continues to deteriorate for hundreds of patients who remain stuck in these under-equipped, no-equipped, really, hospitals there. So it just keeps getting worse in the north. And here in central Gaza, in al-Nusayrat refugee camps, over the 3 days, the Israeli military has declined somehow its overall attacks from the land, air, and the sea on the northwest of the camp. However, just a few hours ago, we could hear several blasts coupled with extensive gunfire by Apache helicopters and quadcopters at the northwest of the camp. So overall, in the entirety of the Gaza Strip, the bloodbath, unfortunately, doesn't stop. Just more people are being killed, and they are being killed en masse. Like, we lose tens of people every single day, and sometimes the number reaches 100, because particularly in the north, the UN has announced that Israel in the north is killing a child every single hour, which is a completely devastating and harrowing stat. The world needs really to turn an eye to us and look at what is happening. So, regarding another topic which is really important, the famine that is looming and hitting the entire population of the Gaza Strip. Unfortunately, markets are empty, they don't have vegetables, they don't have fruit, and people are forced now to depend on bags of light flour to make some bread, and this bread is not really good for their health. Unfortunately, they don't have any other solution except hidden and opting for these just limited solutions. They only have sometimes some loaves of bread, but then this bread sometimes is not available. And just like this, they even have to eat some expired canned food, which is really destructive to the health of the entire population, especially when we talk about the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital behind me. We have seen different cases transferred and dispatched to the hospital. They are dehydrated, they are malnourished. And those cases in particular are among us, children and women who have nothing to do with this war, who are not a party to this war, but they are still being subjected to sheer violence, to sheer level of famine that is hitting the entire population. So the situation overall is dire. It's getting worse every single day. And unfortunately, attacks by the Israeli regime see no reduction.
Okay, appreciate that, Abubakar Abed, our correspondent in Deir al-Balah, Gaza City. Now, the United Nations has condemned Israel's indiscriminate strikes on civilians in Gaza, saying that more than 50 children were killed in just 2 days in one town alone. UNICEF's executive director says the vehicle of one staffer was also attacked by a suspected Israeli quadcopter in northern town of Jabalia. Catherine Russell said the car was damaged, but the staffer was not injured. Four kids were wounded in an Israeli attack on a polio center in northern Gaza, despite an agreed humanitarian pause. The regime reached an intensified military offensive and a siege in northern Gaza last month. The Palestinian Civil Defense says more than 1,000 people have been killed and 200,000 forcibly displaced. Okay, we told you about Gaza. Let's switch now to Lebanon, where Hezbollah has conducted several retaliatory operations against Israel, targeting military positions deep inside the occupied lines. Now, one of the operations, the group targeted a gathering of Israeli forces in the settlement of Rosh HaNikra with a barrage of rockets. The movement also said that the gathering of Israeli soldiers in the settlement of Shalomi, Baram, Metzupa, and Shomera were also hit. Sirens sounded in several areas across the northern occupied territories, including Haifa, Bay Area, Kiryat and Galilee, and Acre, following Hezbollah's rocket and missile attacks. No immediate reports whether the strikes left any casualties. On Saturday, Hezbollah targeted an air base in southern Tel Aviv with a squadron of drones. In Germany, police have brutally clamped down on pro-Palestine demonstrators in the capital, Berlin. Now, thousands convened at a subway station to show solidarity with Palestinians and to condemn the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza. Demonstrators were waving Palestinian flags and chanting anti-Israel slogans while the police attacked and arrested seven. Anti-Israel protests in several European countries, including in Germany, have repeatedly witnessed violent crackdown by the police. A few months ago, Amnesty International sharply criticized German police for using excessive force against the ralliers in a pro-Palestine demonstration in Berlin. And with that report, we come to the end of this newscast. Thank you for being with us.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old, and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners. Warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special Program on this beautiful Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is broadcast on Sundays, and this is a program for yours. This is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs and about the world developments. And you can also record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Stay with us, please. Welcome to your program, and in this edition of Listeners Special, on November 3rd, we've received reception reports from Malika Labochoy from Pakistan and from Heikki Puranen from Finland. Both of them are old and regular listeners. And in this edition of Listeners, a special program, we will read emails from Muhammad Khaku from the U.S. about the U.S. elections, in the upcoming U.S. elections, actually, and from Malika Labochoy from Pakistan. And for your information, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, I have to add that reception reports are very helpful to us, especially for our engineers and technicians, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for all listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving a piece of EQSL or electronic QSL from us. Many thanks for being with us. I will be back with you. And in this edition of Listeners' Special Program, we are going to talk about the wonderful city of Yazd. Yes, Yazd is a city full of wonders, a desert city with traditional mud houses, eye-catching wind catchers, and rooftop cafes and restaurants. Aside from the city itself, the nature around it is magical. The starry nights of the deserts, the sand dunes, and the sunsets are Mother Nature's magnificent art. They're not something you want to miss. That's why today we are going to go on a trip to learn about one of the outstanding deserts around Yazd, the Karakol Desert. Karakol Desert, or Baf Desert, is close to Baf City in Yazd. But before we start, let's see, why is it worth seeing the Karakol Desert, or Baf Desert? Firstly, it is called the most beautiful desert of Yazd. Secondly, accommodation facilities are available and you do not have any problems in this regard during the trip. Thirdly, you can enjoy interesting and exciting entertainment such as camel riding, four-wheeled motorcycles, off-road, etc. And finally, it is located near the city and could easily reach this desert by taking an asphalt road. Well, Karakol Desert is a region near Baf City in Yazd. Some consider it the most beautiful desert in Yazd. This desert is one of the most well-known habitats of Karakol. That's why they also call it by the same name. Watching the sky at night, experiencing activities such as camel riding, off-roading, etc., staying in traditional and beautiful accommodation and enjoying endless peace are the experiences that you will get during your trip to Karakol. Karakol Desert is the habitat of one of the Iranian cat species called Karakol cat and takes its name from this beautiful animal. Karakol is the ancient Persian name of this cat and today we call it black ear as lynx in English. This cat is one of the 8 species of cats that live in Iran and Central Asia. We can even find its traces in Africa. The Karakol is also one of the heaviest and fastest small cats. Genetically, it is related to the African golden cat and the cheetah. The Karakol is a nocturnal and solitary animal. It is extremely sensitive to its territory, and if you're lucky, you may be able to see this animal in the Karakol Desert or Baf Desert. But be careful not to be hurt, the animal, and just watch it from a distance. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. Before continuing to talk about the city, the wonderful city of Yazd, actually, I wanted to read one of the emails, and this time from Mohammad Khaku from the US, who is one of our old and regular listeners. Mohammad Khaku has written about the upcoming US elections. Mohammad Khaku says, fellow Americans, we are navigating through uncertain times. Our flora and fauna face significant risks. The gap in both local and global economies is widening, increasingly benefiting billionaires, special interests, lobbyists, and Zionist cartels. The political climate in our nation is becoming more detached and apathetic towards the essential needs of the citizens. As the parties represented by elephants and donkeys continue to operate as a closed network of the elite, the military-industrial complex, and influential lobbyists. Current existential threats to humanity encompass ongoing genocides, violations of international law, environmental degradation, and climate change. The political landscape is increasingly veering towards a divide-and-rule strategy, deviating from the crucial goal of providing lasting solutions to our challenges, including poverty, racism, and the military-industrial complex. Change is essential. Reforming the political system is crucial. Americans have long been caught up in a political drama where two major parties are often hindered by the power of Zionist lobbying controlling the Congress. The two parties have cultivated a regrettable culture where political leaders have essentially abandoned the principles of transparency and accountability. Consequently, over the past 75 years, our tax dollars have become captive of Zionist lobbyists whose appetite for wars and regime change is now undeniable. The gap between the rich and the poor has grown, plunging the latter further into poverty. Additionally, the disenfranchisement of citizens has intensified, rendering their votes increasingly inconsequential. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio to Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners. Many thanks for writing your views about the upcoming US election. You actually noted many points about the United States and what is happening there. You describe many points about the healthcare system, about Zionist lobbying in the United States, about actually U.S. tax dollars, which has become captive of Zionist lobbyists, about the poverty in the United States, and many other points. You are there in the United States. You describe many things, and actually you protested the two parties that is that are governing the United States system, that are governing actually the Congress, the Zionists governing the Congress. You said many things about the U.S. election. Thank you very much for reflecting your views about the upcoming U.S. election. We agree with you, and what you said was totally right. And we have to wait and see what happens for the future of the United States. Many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. A piece of EQSL will be sent to you as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you, your views about IRIB English Radio programs, and also about the world developments, especially about what is happening in the United States. Thank you again. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Before reading one of your emails, I just wanted to continue my description of Yazd, the Karakol Desert, the Baf Desert. One of the attractions of this desert is the grooves that have formed around it. Walking through these grooves will be an interesting experience for you. Pomegranate and pistachio trees are also among the beauties of this region. This desert hosts some of the largest sand dunes that reach a height of 50 meters. Wow, such a long height. When you climb up these hills, you will face a stunning view. Have you seen the photos? You can search. And you can also visit the Karakol Desert. One of the attractions of the Karakol Desert route is the house of the famous poet and writer Bafri, Vahshi Bafri, the famous poet and writer from Iran. A house with a special and beautiful architecture that is also among the national monuments of Iran. And this house dates back to 16th century. Wow, long time. You can visit this historical attraction on the way to the Karakol Desert. Other attractions of the Karakol Desert are the Ambar Reservoir and the Kakamir Bath. This reservoir is one of the largest reservoirs in Bafre. Kakamir Reservoir is built at a depth of 4 meters and is covered by a brick dome. The volume of water that can be stored in this reservoir reaches 2,500 cubic meters. You may be interested to know that Bafre, along with its vast deserts, also has relatively high mountains that run parallel to the city in a northwest-southeast direction. Welcome back. Malik Alabachoy from Pakistan, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. Malik Alabachoy says, Assalamu alaikum, dear sir or madam. For the recent Radio Club exhibition, I was excited to present material from IRIB English Radio, an international broadcaster based in Iran. IRIB English Radio service plays a significant role in delivering news, cultural insights, and perspectives on current affairs from an Iranian viewpoint. This material became a key component of our exhibition, as it offered visitors a unique look into the station's outreach efforts to global audiences, while also showcasing the cultural richness of Iran. The material includes informative booklets and some past broadcast scripts. Each item highlighted IRIB English Radio commitment to fostering understanding and bridging cultural divides through balanced and informative programming. The booklets provided information on the wide range of topics covered by the English service, from world news to in-depth analysis of Iranian culture, traditions, and modern societal dynamics. The booklets were packed with fascinating insights in Persian history, art, literature, and Iran's unique contributions to global heritage. These resources proved especially popular, drawing in visitors who were curious to learn more about Iran's perspective on world events and its vibrant cultural heritage. To bring an interactive element to the display, I arranged for recordings of IRIB English Radio broadcasts to be played throughout the exhibition. These included segments on Persian poetry, traditional music, and coverage of global and regional political issues. Attendees were captivated by the broadcast, which allowed them to experience the station's style and professionalism firsthand. IRIB English Radio materials were not just informative, but sparked curiosity and constructive conversations among visitors. The exhibition ultimately succeeded in showcasing IRIB English Radio efforts to connect with English-speaking audiences, providing a meaningful exchange of ideas and enhancing cross-cultural understanding. Kindly post me literature about IRIB English Radio programs for our exhibition. Looking forward to hearing from you. Regards, Malika Alabachaya from Pakistan. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and IRIB English Radio staff to you, Malika Alabachaya from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to listeners' special program and IRIB English Radio. Appreciations to you for showcasing IRIB English Radio materials in your exhibition. which is named Radio Club Exhibition. Thank you for your compliments and showcasing IRAB English radio materials and recordings, which included materials like playing music and programs about political issues, cultural, artistic and traditional issues about Iran. Thank you very much. It's kind of you. It's an honor to have you with us as our regular listener, Malik Alabachai from Pakistan. A piece of EQSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you, Malik Alabachai. Welcome back. In this edition of Listeners, a special program, we received reception reports from Heikki Puranen from Finland, Malik Alabachai from Pakistan, and we received emails from Muhammad Khaku from the U.S. and Malik Alabachai from Pakistan. So we do express our warm appreciations and gratitudes for their commitments and support for IRAB English Radio. So we have to say goodbye to you. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and listeners, a special program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson helped to create awareness about the problems of alcoholism as a part of our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, an honor to be here on A to Z. So we are talking about how we should create awareness about the problems and the negative repercussions of alcoholism as part of our Islamic lifestyle. I'm sure you will be asking, because you are all intelligent people, so the first question that would come up is, how is creating awareness about anything a part of our Islamic lifestyle? Well, as you know, we don't have a lot of time on the program to be able to talk in depth about some of these questions that you ask. But just to give a very short answer, this creating awareness about anything, whether it's something good or something bad, it is actually called Amal bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar in one scope of this Islamic pillar, right? To encourage good and to prohibit evil. So in order to encourage good and prohibit evil, well, we have to create awareness about both good and evil. And so that's how it's connected to our Islamic lifestyle, because, well, it's a pillar of Islam. So creating awareness about the problems of alcoholism, the negative repercussions of alcoholism, is something that is a part of our Islamic lifestyle. We should not expect that the society around us, if it is doing something that is wrong and we stay silent about it or we stay hidden about it, that certain wrong thing, that wrong thing won't affect us or our families or our children. No, it definitely will, whether we say something or we don't. But when we say something, at least we are pushing back the evil that is trying to infiltrate our homes and our families. And even if we're not, you know, God forbid, successful in preventing that infiltration, at least on the Day of Judgment, well, we can stand, you know, in the court of justice of the Almighty Allah and tell him that, listen, you know, we tried to do something. We tried to take a stand. Now, we could not succeed or win. Well, that's a different story, but we did our responsibility. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about these great concepts in as little time as possible. So we're talking about creating awareness about alcoholism. Now, alcoholism has a lot of very serious and multiple different kinds of harms and bad effects and negative effects, and it really destroys the individual, the family unit, as well as the society. In some way or the other, we should try to make these things known to the people around us, to our friends, to our coworkers, you know, in a civil, friendly, compassionate manner, you know. So we're not trying to, you know, put anybody down, but, you know, at least in a compassionate manner, let people know that there's various ills that are attached to alcoholism. And, you know, over 1,000 years ago, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, he says that Allah the Almighty forbade alcohol because the corruption that accompanies alcohol and the drinking of alcohol and intoxication at any level, right? He talks about how it alters the drinker's reason. It encourages the drinker to deny Allah, to slander the Messenger of Allah, and of course all of the other accompaniments of corruption and murder that come around with the drinking of alcohol. And if we look at modern day societies, we will find that many of the murders, many of the crimes, many of the domestic violence issues, child abuse issues, these shooting sprees, in one way or the other, they are connected to alcohol. And so in whatever manner we can, we should try to help our societies, help our families, help our friends, help the people around us in order to, you know, be able to help them and do this by creating awareness about alcoholism in our Islamic lifestyle. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. Kamala Harris has a big lead over Donald Trump among early voters in the United States. The lead is larger than the one Hillary Clinton had over Donald Trump in the 2016 election. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Telegraph has covered this story and tells us more. Kamala Harris is a big lead over Donald Trump among American voters who say they have already cast their ballots, according to opinion polls. The Democratic nominee had an advantage of 19 to 29 percentage points over her Republican rival, according to tallies by ABC News and Ipsos, New York Times and Siena College, and CNN. The lead is larger than the one Hillary Clinton had over Donald Trump in the run-up to the 2016 election, when polls showed the Democratic nominee leading with 8 to 16 percentage points. Joe Biden had a greater margin in late 2020 polls when Democrats embraced mail voting. While Donald Trump attacked it and persuaded his supporters not to do it, polling shows that Kamala Harris has a significant advantage in swing states where the two parties have similar levels of support and where the outcome of the election will be decided. According to polls from Marist, CNN, Fox News and USA Today, Suffolk University, Kamala Harris leads among early voters in the key battlegrounds of Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Only in Nevada does any major poll indicate an early Donald Trump swing state advantage, with a CNN study showing a 6 percentage point lead. There has been Republican excitement over increased levels of early voting by their supporters, which led billionaire businessman Elon Musk to declare that Donald Trump was trending towards a crushing victory. 4 years ago, Trump was vehemently opposed to early and mail-in voting, saying it was vulnerable to fraud. This time around, Donald Trump and Republican Party officials have adapted their messaging to encourage supporters to cast their ballots before Election Day next Tuesday. Elon Musk's prediction was based on a comparison from Pennsylvania of 2024, vote-by-mail turnout against turnout levels from this point in the 2020 race, which showed registered Republicans making up 32% of the early vote compared with 21% back in 2020. Early voting data tends to favor Democrats as the party encourages its supporters to cast their ballots early, so less is left a chance on Election Day. Women are also voting early in large numbers, and Democrats, who have made reproductive rights a central campaign issue, see the female vote as key to a Kamala Harris victory. According to the University of Florida's Election Laboratory, 54% of the 60 million Americans who have already voted are women. Kamala Harris led Donald Trump by 12 percentage points among female voters in October, according to an analysis by Reuters and Ipsos. Experts warned against overinterpreting early polling data, as the subsamples of those who say they have already submitted their ballot have larger margins of error. Mail-in voting and early voting began at scale in the United States during the Civil War, but has been a significant expansion since 2000. Most states offer in-person and mail voting, though options vary. The latest opinion polls indicate that the candidates are neck and neck in the home stretch of the race. Assassination attempts, the dropping out of the incumbent, criminal convictions and a record-breaking donation haul, the 2024 U.S. presidential election cycle is a roller coaster ride. With just a matter of days to go until Americans head to the polls on 5th of November next Tuesday, the Telegraph is tracking the race at every turn. Kamala Harris had long maintained a lead over Donald Trump after Joe Biden withdrew and endorsed her as a Democratic nominee, according to our national polling aggregates. But the space between them is vanishing with each day the election draws nearer. British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story. Donald Trump trails Kamala Harris by between 19 and 29 percentage points among those who say they've already cast their ballots, according to the latest opinion polls. Despite Donald Trump's boasts of an unprecedented lead in early voting, polling suggests that Kamala Harris is actually significantly ahead among those who have already voted, either through absentee, mail-in, or in-person ballots. Recent national polling from ABC News and Ipsos, the New York Times and Siena College, and CNN show that Kamala Harris leads Donald Trump 62% to 33%, 59% to 40%, and 61% to 36% respectively, according to analysis by the Washington Post. According to these polls, those who have already voted are nearly twice as likely to have voted for Kamala Harris, with a 24% lead among early voters. The same trend is also true across almost all of the swing states, according to surveys from CNN, Fox News, Morris Poll, and USA Today's Suffolk University. The polls find that Kamala Harris is leading in early voting across Arizona between 9 and 12%, Georgia between 7 and 10%, Michigan between 26 and 39%, North Carolina between 2 and 6%, Pennsylvania between 17 and 35%, and Wisconsin between 22 and 60%. CNN's polling of those who said they've already voted has found that Donald Trump leads Kamala Harris in Nevada by 6 percentage points. Early voting records have been smashed already this election cycle, with 65 million Americans estimated to have cast their ballots already, according to the University of Florida. An estimated 65% of likely voters either have or intend to cast their ballot before Election Day next Tuesday. Excitement in the GOP camp is mounting, as opinion polls show Republicans have embraced early voting much more than in 2020, when Donald Trump dissuaded the use of mail-in ballots despite the U.S. being in the depths of the COVID pandemic. In Pennsylvania, for example, registered Republicans make up about 32% of early vote this year, a significant increase from 21% back in 2020, according to CNN. Trump has claimed that his party is in fact storming ahead in the polls among early voters. Donald Trump, speaking at Henderson, Nevada, a campaign stop on Thursday, 31st of October, said, "We're leading in early voting for the first time ever. As you know, Democrats always lead in the early part, and Republicans like to go there on." Despite enhanced GOP voter turnout, Kamala Harris is expected to go into Election Day with a substantial lead, according to the latest opinion polls. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir, and now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May God bless you and me. Today we have a beautiful hadith that we should take heed of this warning that Imam Ali alayhi salam has for us. He advises, one who frequently thinks about sin will eventually be drawn towards it. So are we like that? We should ask ourselves, do we frequently think about any specific sin? Because we mostly do not think about all the sins. We are not like willing or we don't like every kind of sin. There are some specific sins. There are weak points in us that Satan, the devil, Shaitan, knows about them. And nafs pushes us towards them. For example, you may be immune, when it comes to stealing, for example, the belonging of others, the property of others. You cannot be a thief. But you may think about, we may think about like other sins. So, if you tend to do a specific sin, and any sin, you should be careful, because as Imam Ali alayhi salam puts it, you will be drawn towards it when you think about it frequently. And, it will attract you and like absorb you and take you to that. So this is a deep concept. The Holy Prophet says, my nation is forgiven for what crosses their minds, as long as they do not speak of it or act upon it. So when it is like involuntary, there is no objection. But voluntary thoughts, it's thoughts that you keep in your mind, thoughts of, evil thoughts, you should not keep it. Unless, otherwise they would take you to nowhere accept evil, and you don't like that. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, for example, to the, like, our sisters, women, let them not strike their feet so as to make known that they conceal of their, what they conceal of their adornments. You know, in the past they used to wear anklets, well, and it had a sound. Allah tells them not to do, not to, like, make the sound, because people would know that, and they would have, like, men would have, like, evil thoughts, or they would be distracted badly, in a bad way. And also, do not be soft in speech, lest he in whose heart is a disease should covet. People may have no evil thoughts when they get tempted, when, you know, so you should not, like, provoke. If whether you are a man or a woman, you should not provoke any bad thoughts, and you should not have bad thoughts. You should not keep it in your mind, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. We delve into the powerful statements of Sheikh Naim Qasim, Hezbollah's newly appointed leader, who asserts a commitment to disrupt Israel's so-called schemes in the region. In his first speech since taking office, he emphasized a critical need to support Gaza and confront 75 years of conflict, urging unity against perceived aggression. In this edition, we have a robust debate on these pressing issues as we are joined by Mr. Ali Hami, academic and political analyst, joining us live from Beirut. And Isabella Zaidan, academic and political analyst from Damascus.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Thank you very much to both of you. Let's begin with our guest from Beirut, Mr. Ali Hami. What are your thoughts on Sheikh Qasim's commitment to disrupting Israeli schemes?
After greetings for you and to your guest,
and for all the audience. I would like to start saying that Sheikh Naim Qasem, the new Secretary General of Hezbollah, is starting his way by putting some regulations and points for the futures and inherited from